Drop it. For people unfamiliar with the show who might be on radio or otherwise, they're like, what just happened? It is a Friday power panel. It is the all-powerful Anna Kasparian, Cenk Uygur, and epic politics man Michael Schur. I seem incredibly powerless between the two of you. Just little old me, okay? Day filled with madness, as usual, because we are in the Trump administration. So watching last week's John Oliver last night, mm-hmm. and as he was going through the week, I was like, oh my God, every week has so much madness right. packed into it. And then I was thinking, if Obama had fired his chief of staff and his communications director in the same week, and then fired the new guy who he hired to replace them,
right.
and because he had said that another advisor should suck his own penis. It was
trying to suck his own penis.
Right.
Right.
That's you're right. That is right. more accurate. There's a journalist right there for you, ladies and gentlemen.
Just want to be fair.
That's right. That would have been the biggest scandal of the 8 years of the Obama administration by a landslide.
Investigations, hearings, conspiracies. It would have just gone on and on and on.
Right.
And it also wouldn't have seemed like 3 years ago, which is that's the thing.
Exactly. That was just last week. Okay, and it yeah. seems like it was a million yeah. years ago, because now we're on the precipice of nuclear war with North Korea. So, the whole sucking your own cock thing is just old news under the water under the bridge.
So you know how a president will age considerably by the time his term is up? I feel like the American people are going to go through that aging process.
It's the opposite this time.
Yeah. I definitely feel it.
That's
right?
a good point. That's
yeah.
funny.
That's right. We're all going to have gray hair at the end of this. Okay. Anyway, a giant show for you guys, including a lot of Steve Bannon machinations. Oh, this ought to be good. And like insane conspiracy theories, memos written inside the National Security Administration. I found out, I did not know what the origin story of Steve Bannon's hatred towards Muslims are. And I have it. It's amazing, mm-hmm. and it's like, it's weird how, I can't wrap my mind around how brazenly, openly racist and bigoted he is. It's just amazing.
Well, that's what people who hate a group, you're gonna find that strain going through all of them.
Yeah. You
know? I mean, that's the reasons they give are never justifiable.
Oh no, you can't.
Right.
As my 4-year-old daughter says now, you can't wait to see this, Baba. Not I can't wait to show you. You can't wait to see this. Okay, so you can't wait to see this.
I like that sell. Yeah.
All right, what do you got for us, Anna?
All right. A public figure who is closely tied to NRA TV, in fact, he's a host for NRA TV, has tweeted that maybe North Korea should drop some bombs on California. Now, Grant Stinchfield is his name, and the tweet that he put out said the following: let's send a note to North Korea that Sacramento changed its name to Guam. Now, of course, that's a response to North Korea threatening to attack Guam in response to Donald Trump's fire and fury comments. And so, you know, what a funny joke, what a funny tweet, especially considering that he himself, this Stinchfield guy, essentially accused left-wingers and how their inflammatory rhetoric is inspiring unstable individuals to commit acts of violence. That was what he was talking about just a couple months ago.
He just literally encouraged an unstable individual, Kim Jong-un, to commit an act of enormous, unbelievable violence against the state of California. But this is part of a broader theme, which is, so you could say about this guy, okay, he's a clown, I get it, and he's joking, haha, let's bomb Sacramento, that's funny, and kill all those people, that's really funny. So on the other hand, it goes along with the broader theme, which is San Francisco is not really America, Massachusetts is not really America, California is not really America, only the heart, quote unquote, heartland is America. And if you made a similar joke, if you're a progressive and said like, oh man, why don't the communists just bomb Alabama and get rid of those people in Alabama who are not really Americans.
Oh, their heads would explode.
Oh my God.
This guy's Twitter handle is at Grant Stinchfield 1776. So he's super patriot, but he just wants to see them bomb a big American city in the biggest American state or among the biggest American states. It's unbelievable.
Yeah, so and then I'm also amused because Trump apparently shows this to almost everyone who comes into his office. He still has the electoral map, and because he's a child, he doesn't understand the concept of population, but this is true of a lot of conservatives. So he'll show the map and he'll go, look at all the red, and there's only tiny amounts of blue on the coast and a little bit in the middle.
And if they didn't bust people into New Hampshire, we would have won this one too, right here.
Right. Just because your voters are spread out across wide swaths of land does not make them a larger set of the population. These are the simplest concepts in the world, but conservatives oftentimes, unfortunately, are not that bright. So you have to explain it to them slowly. There are a lot of people who live on the coast, and there's a lot of land in the middle of the country, but there are actually, for example, Hillary Clinton got 3 million more votes. That means there are more human beings in America who voted for the Democrat instead of Republican. Hey, you won the election. We're not relitigating that, right? But we just need you to understand that there are other people in the country other than you. In fact, there are more of us. In fact, do you know the Democrats have won 6 out of the last 7 popular votes? So the Republican Party is hanging on by their fingernails, and they think they're ascendant. Right, and they're like, why don't you just kill all the people in California? That's so funny, right? Because who cares about California? It's only the 7th largest economy in the whole world. And that's where we have all of our strengths, including Silicon Valley and Hollywood, yes, which is one of our biggest exports throughout the entire world. Then we'll just be stuck with Alabama. That'll be great. So look, unlike them, I don't dislike the rest of the country. I love the rest of the country. If I were to run a presidential campaign, I'm just playing. I'd started in Kentucky. I love Kentucky, and there's no reason to cede any ground in any place. And you know what's going to help Kentucky? Progressive values.
You would start your campaign in Kentucky?
I would.
Why? I'm just curious. That's a fine choice, but
yeah. No, I don't know. I've been to Kentucky 4 times. I've loved it every single time. Love it to pieces. And even stuff I don't like, I love.
And one of the political season kickoffs is in Kentucky, the Fancy Farm Festival, which is when the political season does kind of kick off in America. It's perfect for you.
Yeah, and if I'm not a fancy farm, I don't know what I am. By the way, I was at a festival in Kentucky. Why am I blanking on the thing? The community, the thing that you get together. We have it across my house in New Jersey. Anyway,
it's State Fair.
Thank you. All right. So I was at a state fair in Kentucky.
A festival. We have it across from my house.
I know. They have it in Friel. Anyway. So I'm at a fair in Kentucky, and they have a petting zoo, and it's so cute. And I'm when the kids are having fun. My family's with me, and we're getting cotton candy. This is America. And then they're selling AK-47s. Here's there's all these different booths, and in one this booth you can get this weapon and murder everybody else at the state fair. Right? Now, hopefully you won't. Right? But even that, I took a picture and I was like, you know, like it or not, America.
Yeah.
Right. Anyways, don't kill the people in California. That's a bad idea. Don't joke about it, and don't encourage people to do it. Seems relatively easy.
And yep. Guam Kings is a stupid name for an NBA team anyway.
The Guam Kings. The Guam Lakers.
No, it's Sacramento.
Oh yeah, you're right. All right.
Go ahead.
All right.
That was terrible, James.
Yes.
All right. The fighting between Mitch McConnell and Donald Trump continues, and an interesting development has occurred where members of Congress are vocally defending Mitch McConnell and sticking by his side. So this is showing that even though the House and Senate has been taken over by the GOP, they're much more willing to support members of Congress over the wishes of Donald Trump. Now, let me give you a little bit of context, and then I'll give you the comments that are coming from Congress right now in support of Mitch McConnell. Now, this all started when Mitch McConnell was at a Rotary Club meeting in Kentucky, and he talked about Donald Trump's expectations. Take a look.
Part of the reason I think that the storyline is that we haven't done much is because in part, the president and others have set these early timelines about things need to be done by a certain point. Our new president had, of course, not been in this line of work before, and I think had excessive expectations about how quickly things happen in the democratic process.
So that's obviously an incredibly mild criticism of Donald Trump, but Donald Trump doesn't take kindly to criticism at all, regardless of how mild it is. He has been attacking Mitch McConnell on Twitter. I'll give you one quick example. He said, "Can you believe that Mitch McConnell, who has screamed repeal and replace for 7 years, couldn't get it done, must repeal and replace Obamacare?" And now GOP lawmakers are sticking up for Mitch McConnell, John Cornyn being one of them. He tweeted that passing POTUS's legislative agenda requires a team effort. No one is more qualified than Mitch McConnell to lead Senate in that effort. There were other lawmakers like Senator Rand Paul, who told the Lexington Herald Leader that he still supports McConnell. There are a bunch of other lawmakers as well, but I want you guys to jump in.
Yeah, and Rand Paul and McConnell had the differences earlier in Rand Paul's career. They're both from the state of Kentucky, my favorite state apparently. First of all, I love that Mitch McConnell intimated very clearly that he thought Donald Trump was at a minimum ignorant of the process, if not right, lacking the intellect to understand the process. And so look, I'm happy to get on the Republicans too for screaming for 7 years that Obamacare should be repealed, and then they didn't have a plan. The reason they didn't have a plan is because there is no good conservative plan where you do giant tax cuts for the rich and actually give everybody insurance and have lower premiums and better coverage. It was a fantasy. They had been lying the whole time. So he's like, look, now in this impossible situation, because we had been lying for the last 7 years, and by the way, Donald Trump, you had also been lying with us for those last 7 years. Now we have to come up with something, but it's hard to convince 51 senators to go along with us, and that takes time. So if we had more hearings, McCain would have voted, might have voted with us, and we might have gotten it done. So that's a reasonable point for McConnell to make. So he charges Trump basically with ignorance, and Trump fires back with, oh yeah, dude, it's all McConnell's fault, thereby proving his ignorance. So how are you going to get anything done without the Senate Majority Leader of your own party on your side? That goes to show you don't know how the process works at all. If he had a battle plan to somehow get rid of Mitch McConnell and replace him with an ally who actually could get 51 votes, if he's got that plan, it's super secret. He hasn't shared it with anyone, including his advisors. No one knows about it because it doesn't exist. There is no such plan. He's just a child. So he goes, right, I don't like that Mitch said that about me. Oh yeah, maybe it should be somebody else. Thank you for proving right, Mitch McConnell's point.
And keep in mind that while the Senate was trying to find a replacement plan for the Affordable Care Act, Donald Trump was busy attacking Jeff Sessions. And so he wasn't really involved in those negotiations. He wasn't involved in sharing his ideas or sharing his policy. I mean, it was hilarious because during the election, we kept saying over and over again, Donald Trump keeps making these massive promises without detailing anything related to actual policy. And then those on the right are like, no, he totally knows what he's doing. He's got some real policies outlined on his website. Go on his website, he didn't have anything outlined on his website. So it's also Donald Trump who continuously bullies members of Congress for not passing anything, but what have you done to help? What have you done to provide a solution? And then finally, look, to the broader point that's been brought up on the show before, I mean, the White House keeps whining and crying about how people keep leaking things to the media. Yeah, people are gonna leak things to the media if you're constantly attacking people on Twitter. They have no loyalty to you because you have no loyalty to them, right? And honestly, I enjoy the infighting. Have at it, GOP, it's awesome.
And the Senate is not where it most often happens. So to go after McConnell and expect that like going after Boehner was in vogue for a while, and there was a splintered caucus in the House on the Republican side, doesn't exist in the same way in the Senate. These people, by and large, of course, you're talking about John Cornyn, who's number two there. You're talking about Shelley Moore Capito and Susan Collins, people who are in sort of high ranking places, not so much with Capito, but Collins, Rand Paul, others, Bob Corker. They're going to support Mitch McConnell, and to what Cenk said, to what McConnell said, the Senate is known, you know, colloquially as the greatest deliberative body in the world, right? So it's going to take long to get everything done. And what's happening now, it's much more difficult to take something away from Americans than it is to not give it to them in the first place. And that's what's happening right now. And the Republicans are having to answer for that. And this, unlike, I mean, or I would say not dissimilar from the North Korea stand, he's provoking Mitch McConnell. He's provoking the senators. Their support for this president is threadbare. It's hardly there. And when it gets broken, they're going to run away pretty fast because they're going to go back to voters who they have no allegiance to Trump. And another last interesting thing is Elaine Chao, Mrs. Mitch McConnell, is the Secretary of Transportation. I wonder what that's like. I mean, just, you know.
Trump probably doesn't even know that. I'm not even kidding.
Yeah, okay. But I mean, it's a weird dynamic. You know, he also picked a lot of Senate and House leaders to be there to liaise with the House and Senate, including Mrs. Mitchell McConnell. So I'm sure he knows it, and I'm sure that he's disappointed that that hasn't worked.
Okay, so one more thing about this, to give you a sense of whether Trump has a secret plan or not. Remember, he had a secret plan to defeat ISIS on the first day that he was in office. No, to be fair, sorry, that one was, he said, was going to take 30 days. We're 7 months in. Okay, come on, really, conservatives, you're this much of suckers. You really think he has all these secret plans? Okay, so if he had a secret plan that he was going to undermine Mitch McConnell and get a new Senate majority leader that's on his side, well, all these senators just came out and said, no, we're with McConnell, not with Trump. Not only the ones we named, but also Pat Roberts, Johnny Isaacson, Todd Young, Cory Gardner, and the list goes on and on. So there was never any plan. He has no idea what he's doing. He's like, oh yeah, I'll show you who's got more leverage in the Senate. Oh, it turns out you do. He's such an idiot.
And this idiot just now, just a little while ago from the New Jersey White House, maybe across from the street from your place in Freehold, has said that he has military options in Venezuela now as well. So not only is North Korea a military option, so is Venezuela. I mean, just let's just go crazy. Let's have a big party.
And if, who needs to support him in case he's impeached?
That's a great point.
Like, who's got to have his back to make sure he doesn't get thrown out of office? Right, Republican senators. Right.
Right.
Oh, yeah, you see what I'm saying?
Yeah, yeah. But I mean, and they're already slipping. I mean, the healthcare vote proved that you can still be in the Senate, you can still go on and legislate. You're going to live by going against the president. And
right.
Jeff Flake is proving that as well. I mean, Jeff Flake votes with the president a lot, but his rhetoric has been against the president recently and going back even farther. Ben Sasse, the same way. So you lose these senators, like you just said, Cenk, you lose everything, right? And they're going to go home. They're at home now. It's August. They're going to find out that being buddies with Donald Trump is not all it's cracked up to be for a lot of them. Not for all of them, but for a lot of them.
I love it. I'm glad that they realize that.
Well, they're starting to. I wouldn't say they realize it completely yet. I mean, he's still the president.
Yeah, he's got no plan.
Which is
good news for us, politically, terrible news for us policy-wise, as he threatens to attack two different countries. All right, what's next?
All right. CNN has officially fired Jeffrey Lord after he made a Nazi salute on Twitter in response to the president of Media Matters, who he accuses of being a fascist. Now, interestingly enough, Lord was speaking to a reporter from Penn Live. And during their conversation, he got a phone call, and it was from Steve Bannon. In fact, the reporter said that Lord looked at his phone, saw the caller ID, and said, quote, it's Stephen K. Bannon. Who says that? It's Stephen K. Bannon. I have to take this. It's like if I get a phone call from Cenk, it's Cenk Uygur or whatever.
It's K, actually. Cenk K. Uygur.
You have a K in the middle?
Yeah, that's right.
That would be ridiculous. Yeah.
Oh, everybody.
It's Cenk K. Uygur, everybody. Anyway.
It's Anahit M. Kasparian. Such dorks.
Why do you have to bring up that terrible middle name, though? Come on.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
All right. So, Bannon reportedly called Lord to show support and encourage him to keep fighting. So he is obviously very supportive of Lord, who is, you know, an aggressive Trump supporter and has been on CNN. Lord also gave a quick series of answers to Bannon, ultimately noting there was a reporter in the house and he needed some time to consider his options before strategizing. Now, he does have a book in the works about Donald Trump, and it seems like there's a lot of interest in that. And so I'm sure he's going to be fine. I'm sure there are media outlets and organizations on the right that are, you know, stumbling upon each other trying to hire him now.
You know, slight disagreement with you, Anna. Jeffrey Lord's not going to be fine. He's going to have a little bit of a halo effect here as people still remember him because he's just on cable news nonstop for the last year or more. And so he'll get the book deal and he'll get 1,000 interviews now. Oh my God, are you okay? You're such a victim, and et cetera. Which, by the way, I don't think CNN should have fired, and we talked about that yesterday, and at least not for what he just did here. But then people are going to start to forget about him, and then Trump's going to be out of office. And 2.5 years from now, somebody's going to say Jeffrey Lord, and everybody else on a panel like this will go, who was that? What happened to that guy?
Totally. And also, the other thing about Jeffrey Lord is nobody really knew where he came from.
Right? Where did he come from?
You know, like they don't really know what he was before he got there. If Paul Begala got fired, you'd say, oh, Paul Begala, he's had this history in politics and Democratic politics, and he'll resurface because he's got this pedigree. Nobody really knows what Jeffrey Lord did, where he came from, how they created him. He was like a bot, you know?
And in fact, in this article where this local Pennsylvania publication is talking to him, he apparently lives with his mom in the middle of Pennsylvania.
Right.
Like, so, and he went back there. And so, God bless to taking care of his mom. That's a great thing. But just kind of came out of a basement, and I think he's going to go back into a basement.
That's what it seems like to me.
So, I want to jump back to what started all this drama with him getting fired, right? So he gets into this very public Twitter beef with the head of Media Matters, and he's accusing Media Matters of trying to shut down speech that disagrees with the liberal perspective, which is not the case. So he's angry because Media Matters is going after Sean Hannity specifically. And the reason why they're going after Sean Hannity is because he pushed incredibly dangerous and ridiculous conspiracy theories on his show. And so that's not trying to shut down opinions that you disagree with. That's about holding someone accountable when they're essentially sharing ridiculous conspiracy theories that, as we've experienced with Pizzagate, could lead to dangerous consequences, right? And so, like, the right wing is always talking about how liberals are complaining about victimhood. No, you guys are the victims, okay? You guys always talk about victimhood. No one's trying to shut down your speech. Guess what? When you say ridiculous things, people get to respond, you know, in a free speech manner and criticize it. If you don't like that criticism, then stop being such a goddamn snowflake.
So, you know, I'm a little bit more torn on this than you are. It's definitely not technically a freedom of speech issue because Media Matters, as last I checked,
It's not the United States government.
Okay, so they are countering Hannity's speech with speech of their own, but they are going to advertisers and saying you should pull out. And so, have they targeted Glenn Beck? Yes, but Glenn Beck said things that were outrageous, and so they were countering that speech. Hannity with the conspiracy theory, etc. Right? And they certainly get to do it, but are they targeting progressive speakers? No, they're targeting conservative speakers. But on the other hand, if you say crazy stuff, what do you want? Like, you don't have a right to be rewarded for it. So, like, for example, Alex Jones says insane stuff day in, day out, the gay frogs, the 80% pig, 80% gorilla, 80% human entities, etc., right? So what are you gonna go and say, Walmart, you must advertise with Alex Jones, right? Well, you can't make them do that. And if somebody was and they did it, like, I go after the advertisers, that's where I have some mixed feelings about, because I'm so torn on it because I feel like, yes, of course conservatives should be allowed to have their own outlet. It's America.
No one's arguing that they shouldn't. No one's saying that conservative perspectives shouldn't be shared with the public. No one's going after Breitbart simply because they share the conservative perspective. But if you are sharing conspiracy theories that could lead to something dangerous happening, well, then I think it's completely fine for people to hold you accountable for that. And I believe that that should be the case for the left and the right, okay? And so, like, this, they're attacking my free speech. No one's attacking your free speech. People are allowed to speak out against something that they perceive as wrong. And I think, you know, the Seth Rich conspiracy theories, the Pizzagate conspiracy theories, all of those ridiculous conspiracy theories have actual ramifications.
I know, but look, see, if you're, these are all tough issues, because when you say conspiracy theory, Well, a lot of people can throw a ton of stuff in there, from like the most outrageous, horrific things like Sandy Hook conspiracy that Alex Jones pushes,
right,
to the JFK murder. Well, most people think JFK was not shot by Lee Harvey Oswald. Should we pull all of their advertisers? Should we
think most people think that he was not shot by Lee
Harvey Oswald? It would be, to be fair, I haven't seen polling on it, and yeah, that would be a great question, and I hope somebody does poll on it. But that
it's
is
a little late to pull on it.
But no, not necessarily.
What people like, you know, a 23-year-old doing it right now was, you know, born in 1994, right? Or something.
Yeah, no, yeah, no, of course, it's a historical event,
yeah,
and
right,
you know, and but anyway, that's a much more open question. See, again, we're in the weeds, and it's not as clean cut to me. Saying, hey, openly discriminatory stuff is worse. So, but that's my opinion. So, for example, Steve Bannon had a show on Sirius Satellite Radio, and on that show, he was talking to Donald Trump during the campaign, and he talked about how, oh, there's too many Asians and Indians who run Silicon Valley firms. Even Trump thinks that's a little too racist, and responds, well, that's okay, they're successful, because he thinks rich is good, I don't mind, that's fine, right? And Bannon goes, no, they don't share our culture. I mean, that is openly, flagrantly racist against Asians and Indians, but somehow that's okay. But you know, you do the Seth Rich conspiracy, and you got to lose your show. So, and by the way, you don't have to lose your show, and it's up to the advertisers and Fox News, and it's not the government.
But you don't think Jeffrey Lord should have been fired?
No, I don't think Jeffrey Lord should have been fired for this, because he was not saying Sieg Heil like I like Nazis. If he was, gone, okay. But he was saying you're a Nazi. And you're telling me progressives haven't called other people fascist a million times?
But what, should Kathy Griffin have been fired by CNN?
Yeah, well, so that's why these are hard questions. And I thought what Kathy Griffin did was terrible.
But she's also a
over
comedian.
The line.
She's a comedian, though. Jeffrey Lord's not, we don't know what he is, but he's.
I know, but, and that's why it's even tougher.
Yeah.
Well, it certainly wasn't funny, right? And your job's to be a comedian.
Right.
And you've now like really revolted a lot of our audience. But should that be the judge? These are not easy questions. But the one thing we all agree on is Media Matters not the government, CNN is not the government. They get to set policy for their own organizations, and this is a decision CNN made. And so, and yes, and another thing you're overwhelmingly right about is they love being victims.
Right, and like, look, it's just like the whole college thing, and how, oh, the colleges won't let me go over there and speak, which by the way, I will always, always, always be on the side of whoever it is that wants to go on that college campus to give the speech. I don't care if you are a member of the alt-right, a conservative, a liberal, a progressive, don't care. You should be able to go share your ideas, okay? Free marketplace of ideas, that's what a college campus is supposed to be. But I got denied. You know, I got nominated by students at the University of Colorado Boulder, okay? And the school board decided, you know what? Even though our students voted to have Anna go over there and speak, we don't like what she says about Trump, so we're gonna go ahead and veto it. But I don't go around crying and whining about it and arguing that university should lose its funding because of what the board did to me, right? I don't victimize myself, okay? And so I want the same kind of behavior from conservatives, especially when they're constantly pointing fingers at the left, saying that we're the real snowflakes.
Well, what motivates them is victimization anyway. I mean, their country is being taken away from them. That's the basic, they play victim from the very beginning, and that's what starts all of it, is they are taking my country away from me. I'm a victim.
Yeah,
that's how it works.
One more thing on the hypocrisy, which is so do they stick up for progressives like you who are not allowed on college campuses?
Of course they
because
don't.
There's
fine.
Some conservative douchebag on a board somewhere, on a college board somewhere. No, they love that. They love it when if a protester has done violence, we're against it, they're against it. When a state does violence, we're against it, they love it.
Mm-hmm.
Right? When a protester shut down speech, they're against it, we're against it. When a board member who's connected and conservative and has a lot of money shuts down speech, we're against it, they love it. And when Colin Kaepernick speaks out, we're against it because we believe in the concept of freedom of speech. The 49ers and all the other teams are also not the United States government. Mm-hmm. But we say as a concept, hey, he's making a political statement. It's okay. Everybody's going to live, right? You should let him do that. The other side, no, how dare he? He said something we don't like. What happened to your freedom of speech? What happened to your principles? No, you guys are absolute utter frauds. That's true. But that doesn't mean that we have to copy them. We should be as principled as we possibly can be, but these are difficult questions, and that's why we have this discussion and a little bit of debate, and we don't all, of course, agree on exactly where the line should be drawn. And finally, one more thing for you guys who are conservatives, the marketplace. You know, you love that? Don't worry, soon the marketplace will speak about Jeffrey Lord. And my guess is it's not going to have good news for him.
It's not going to be a lot of demand.
Yeah, that's right.
Probably.
All right, let's take a break. When we come back, drama with Bannon allegedly being one of the top leakers in the White House.
That's a great story. That's the top story of the day. You got to come back for that. All right, back on the Young Turks, Cenk, Michael, and Anna with you. John Connor writes in, damn it, there goes my ice cream. I blame Cenk for saying drop it. Sarah Mack writes in, God, if California left the union, the same right winger snowflakes would scream and cry because our economy carries the rest of the country. Yes, the rest of the country would be in some degree of trouble.
We're the sixth largest economy in the world, California, like up against countries.
Yeah.
What I want to know though is why do people keep moving here if it's such a terrible state?
Yeah.
Right? Like we're so overcrowded.
I know. So, and the red states are great. That's why people keep moving. Oh no, they're moving out of the red states and into the blue states. Interesting. All right. Anyway, again, I love the red states. I'm just saying. Andrew says that's why Trump shouldn't be impeached. He's so stupid. We won't see any real bad, long-lasting actions from the GOP. Wrong again, Bob slash Andrew. You're right about policy. You're wrong about foreign policy.
And taxes.
Yeah. Well, taxes was going to happen no matter what.
Yeah.
It's just, I guess, the severity of it. Even Hillary Clinton would have done giant tax cuts. Anyway, Anthony Rocha Perez says it's called freedom of speech, not freedom from consequence. Slap that on a t-shirt.
That's true. I mean, like, people get to criticize what you say. Like, it happens to us every day, and it's fine. You know?
Do people criticize us?
Can you imagine if people start continue criticizing us, and I'm like, how dare you? You're violating my freedom of speech. Just everybody relax. It's a conversation. Sometimes it gets a little aggressive. It's for my taste as well, but it's how things work.
We could call all them fascists, but they might take it as a compliment. Anyway, all right, let's go forward.
All right. Earlier this month, Jeff Sessions indicated that the White House intends on being incredibly aggressive in identifying leakers and also making sure that they pay consequences for speaking to the media. But now there are reports that one of those top leakers could be Bannon. In fact, according to Politico, in June, Trump started telling aides that he suspected Bannon was a source of negative stories after a slew of stories about Bannon, quote, winning policy wars in the White House, like Trump's decision to pull out of the Paris Climate Accord. And the president told Bannon to knock it off. And that's according to a senior administration official who ironically leaked this story to Politico.
But one thing you say there, Anna, is really important and interesting, which is that so Bannon has been undermining people that are his opponents within the White House. He's not going after liberals in that case. He's going after fellow conservatives who he views to not be conservative enough or nationalist enough, etc. Right? But Trump didn't object to any of that. Trump objected when Bannon took credit for something Trump received, he did.
Yeah.
So that's when he said, wait a minute, you touched my ego. You guys tearing each other to shreds. I don't care about that. That's about you. That's not, we look like a mess. So what? Like he doesn't, Trump doesn't think that they look like a mess. He thinks he's winning, right? Yeah. But if you touch his ego, then wait a minute.
I know, that's when he comes after you.
Yeah. And there's also some potential risk for the White House in letting him go and firing him. And I think Priebus found that out, is that if you keep him, if you let him go, what he's going to come back at you with, you don't want. If he's in the White House, if he's working at the White House, you're able to control that a little bit. Even if it does result in leaks, even if it does result in bluster and hateful speech and all those things, if it's aimed at you from outside the White House, should he ever be gone, that's far more dangerous.
Well, to your point, two great quotes here in the article. One aide said, if they ever want to let him go, they can see how dangerous he is from the outside.
Right.
Yeah, that's exactly right.
Right, damn. And then Ryan Priebus was still abandoned to your point about it, how it's obviously him, right? Yeah. Priebus said, you've got to get people to stop writing this shit. because people know it's you. Right? You ran Breitbart. Breitbart runs all these stories. Right. It's not that complicated. Who else is allies with Cernovich? No, it's you. It's right. Everybody knows it's you.
And the hope is that Kelly can sort of keep him in line. He's not going to listen to Reince Priebus. He doesn't like the party in the first place. Kelly might be able to keep him in line.
Maybe.
Might be. That's what they're thinking.
And he is laying low. So a bunch of like White House aides are on the golf course with Trump, and they're having a good time. And apparently Bannon stayed behind, and he's like quietly in his office plotting to take over the world. But there's also like a slew of negative news articles on Breitbart and other conservative outlets about H.R. McMaster. And of course, Bannon has some beef with H.R. McMaster because he was booted off the National Security Council. And so it's so easy to connect the dots. And yeah, I mean, there is a lot of tough talk coming from Sessions, but I highly doubt that they're really going to go after Bannon and do anything about these leaks.
All right, so let's give you more details because these are really, really interesting. So McMaster kicks off Steve Bannon really early on in the administration from the National Security Council. So that's it, Bannon hates him from then on. And all these articles start appearing in Breitbart and other right wing outlets say, oh, McMaster, it's not even McMaster of his own domain. I don't think they said that in particular, but anyway, and then McMaster.
Have you been working on that one?
No,
okay,
it's just
occurred to me. Good.
Yeah, good. If you were working on it.
Wow.
Anyway, so then recently McMaster also fires Ezra Cohen Watnick and Colonel Derek Harvey from the National Security Team, and they're both allies of Bannon. So now it's getting tighter and tighter in there. He's losing more and more allies. And then there's a guy named.
Now might be a good time just to bring the Richard Higgins NSC.
That's exactly right.
All right, go ahead.
So then Rich Higgins is fired, and you were wondering who's Rich Higgins, so was I. So they lifted up a rock and found all these little bugs and then released them into the White House. These guys who were the fringe of the fringe, insane alt-right nationalist guys that Bannon just put into the national security complex, and they started writing insane memos. So Higgins wrote a memo. And where he said that that McMaster, he implied that McMaster represents an existential threat, Trump represents an existential threat to the cultural Marxist memes that dominate the prevailing cultural narrative. That's a quote, okay? Marxist memes, like what? These guys are nuts. They think that they're like Sharia law advocates and Marxists and Maoists just running around. The country's littered with them. They're like, okay, the Maoists are getting together with the Islamists, with the globalists, and they're hatching this plot. I've never met a Maoist in my life. Has anybody ever met a Maoist?
Okay. No.
This is insane. It's total insane.
But I mean, this is also anti-Semitic sort of code, obviously.
Yes. Yeah. So now Marxist is a little anti-Semitic, but the globalist is something that Steve Bannon coined. That's a term he coined to refer to Jews. Okay, right. There's no other polite way of saying it.
Plenty polite, by the way.
Yes. So, and because it's so weirdly anti-Semitic. All right. Yeah. So let me give you the quote from another quote from Higgins' memo here. He said that those threatened by Trump include quote deep state actors, globalists, bankers, Islamists and establishment Republicans. So this memo was mainly aimed at McMaster, who's the national security advisor, and his others in the administration, and saying he's working with the Jews and he's working with the Muslims. That's apparently a thing now, where the globalists,
right,
Marxists, bankers and Islamists are working together and conspiring against Trump, and they're so mad because Trump is so good at beating them. What are you talking about? So of course he's fired.
He's fired immediately.
Like they should have taken him out in a straitjacket.
But Trump was upset that he was fired.
Of course he is, because Trump's as insane as he is.
I love that. It happened. He wasn't upset about what he had said. He was upset that he was fired.
Yeah. So this is the insane soap opera that Donald Trump has created. And you remember when Donald Trump said during the campaign, we're going to win so much, you're going to get tired of winning?
I'm real tired of winning. Let me just tell you that. If this is winning, I want to start losing.
Well, I mean, look, maybe he was right after all. Because as progressives, we couldn't have done anywhere near this kind of damage to conservatives in the Republican Party.
Right.
So I am getting a little exhausted from winning.
He's going to want, if this nothing happens in North Korea, he's going to want a statue in Guam because he's the president who saved Guam. He won, right? That's what it's going to be. It's absurd, and this is. Hopefully, I mean, I guess, was it you, Anna, who said this? At least it's a distraction from getting anything else happening because this is going on behind the scenes constantly.
That's true. I mean, look, it serves as a distraction from legislation that would be disastrous for the country, but it also serves as a distraction from, I think, much more important things like keeping the country safe, right? And so, look, I'm not a conservative. I don't believe in fear mongering and making everyone scared that there is an imminent threat and we need to, you know, do away with our civil liberties just to protect ourselves. But I will say this. Trump has yet to fill a number of roles pertaining to national security. There are a number of vacant positions within the White House as a result of that. And at the same time, while this infighting is going on, and while these like Alex Jones trolls keep getting hired and fired, what are we doing about ensuring that our State Department is prepared for, I don't know,
we don't have an
impending nuclear war?
To South Korea. We don't have an ambassador in South Korea to be dealing with this that's going on right now.
Unbelievable.
It's unbelievable.
Why don't they put Jared Kushner in charge of
that? They're going to send him to Israel now to work out because things are not going well in the Middle East. They're sending Kushner over there.
What?
Okay.
I mean, that's really happening. That's happening.
Last quick couple of things on the anti-Semitism. So Bannon used to attack Kushner all the time through Breitbart. And then again, Priebus is like, hey, idiot. Everybody knows it's you, right? And that's his son-in-law. So he's like, all right, fine. We'll lay off of Kushner, right? So then recently, Cernovich, another one of Bannon's boys, went after Dina Powell, who's a deputy national security advisor, and National Economic Council director Gary Cohn, and called him a globalist. So in case you missed and you weren't sure it's anti-Semitic, they're like, look, let's just make it really clear.
Okay. He almost called him a record executive, but he decided globalist would be better.
Okay, so which now leads us to another Steve Bannon story that I'll just quickly tell you about, okay? So Steve Bannon, chief strategist for Donald Trump, such as it is, and now in a lot of trouble because he's lost a lot of allies in the National Security Council and in the administration, and he's reeling, and he's been attacking McMaster, who's the National Security Advisor, and now people are mad, and John Kelly, who's the new chief of staff, is big friends with McMaster, and so Breitbart is on the precipice here. So I'm sorry, I keep calling him Breitbart. Steve Bannon is on the precipice here. It is ironic that their site is named after a guy who was Jewish. And when these guys are always warning about the globalists and doing all these anti-Semitic memes, etc. Anyway, so but in this particular case, we're going to talk about his hatred towards Muslims. Hold, okay, excuse me. We're a fun show. Anyway, so The Intercept out with a really interesting story from Peter Moss about Steve Bannon explaining why he came to fear Muslims taking over the West, and why he basically, the origin story of why he doesn't like them.
Is this Stephen K. Bannon?
Yes, it is in fact Stephen K. Bannon.
Same guy,
yes.
All right, good.
And he had, Bannon had talked to a journalist about this, and Joshua Green, who's writing a new book about it, and they said, oh yeah, sure. And Joshua Green's like, I have it on tape, so we can listen to it anytime you like. So apparently Bannon told him, he's like, this is why I don't like Muslims. So he explained that when he was on the Navy destroyer in the Arabian Sea, and Bannon did serve in the Navy for 7 years, so he'd gone on two missions, one in Asia and one in the Arabian Sea. And he said he told this story as to like what scared him and frightened him about these masses of Muslims take over. He says, quote, it was not hard to see as a junior officer sitting there that the threat was just going to be huge. Okay, he said, we'd pull into a place like Karachi, Pakistan. This is 1979, and I'll never forget it. The British guys came on board because they still ran the port. The city had 10 million people at the time. We'd get out there, and 8 million of them had to be below the age of 15. It was an eye opener. We'd been other places like the Philippines where there was mass poverty, but it was nothing like the Middle East. It was just a complete eye opener. It was the other end of the earth. So let's note for a second that he sees a bunch of young Muslims not doing anything wrong, just existing. And he's like, that's it, it's a threat. can't you see? It's an eye opener.
Right.
There's a lot of them, and they are not our religion or color. This is a giant threat. So that right there is amazing and openly, unbelievably bigoted. Bigoted not only like I don't like Muslims, but usually more sophisticated people will tell you why you have to profile them and do other things and why you have to discriminate against them because of percentages and stats. He's like, no, I just saw them and I hated them immediately. And
there
I saw
were so
them
many of them.
There were so many of them, right. Now, of course, the funny part is, turns out almost none of it is true. He is so weird, man. And that's the thing about bigoted, racist people. They just, there's something wrong with them, that they hate other people for irrational reasons. So, turns out the Intercept tracked down the log of the ship that he was on. It was never in Pakistan.
God, damn. Journalism's so good. Okay. I love when
they talked to six people on the ship and they found the military records. The ship never went to Karachi, Pakistan. And he called it the Middle East. The Pakistan is not in the Middle East. Okay, he said there was 10 million people at the time. There was 5 million people in Karachi. It's irrelevant because he was never in Karachi. Okay,
and but still 8 million of them were under 15.
Yeah, that's right. And it turns out, and of course, Karachi was not under British control in 1979. None of the story is true. And it turns out what scared the living crap out of him was not Muslims. Now he's saying, it was the Muslims. Now, it just turned out it was foreigners. The ship stopped in Hong Kong, which was under British control in 1979. British officers did board the ship because that's when you land in Hong Kong, that's what happens, etc. And there's a lot of folks in Hong Kong. You can't tell with your eyes whether they're 10 million or right. million, right? And another story, he said, I saw Iran and Iran was like landing on the moon. It was desolate and it was like the 5th century. They never landed in Iran. They were 12 miles off the coast of Iran. How the hell would you have seen it and have it look like the moon? And 5th century, what the hell are you talking about?
By the way, of course it looked like the moon because you were so far from it. That's why it looked like the moon.
So the degree to which this guy is racist and bigoted is unbelievable. And he's the chief strategist for the president of the United States of America. Mm-hmm. Unreal. That's who Steve Bannon is. And he told journalists this. All right, we got to take a break. When we come back, more news. All right, back on the Young Turks. Angela78Gok wrote in on YouTube Super Chat. And that's a way that if you're watching on YouTube, you could help the show and your comment comes to us. It says, climate change has the Svalbard seed vault at risk. So referring to what we're talking about yesterday mm-hmm. with John Iadrola going to the Svalbard seed vault, which he's going to on his trip to the Arctic, mm-hmm. which is really, really cool. And you're right, it does. We did a story on the show earlier about how
it was flooded.
It's flooded because they didn't expect the ice caps to melt that quickly, and it got in there. Okay, and then a tweet, Jay writes, and Trump thinks the infighting is about people competing for his love. He said something to that effect.
That's actually a really good point.
No, that makes sense.
Yeah.
Like that's exactly what he would think in his insane, deluded mind.
It's the most narcissistic person we've ever come across in public.
I've never seen in my personal life anyone remotely close to Trump in narcissism.
Right.
You know, because you run into a million people in your life, but nobody's. And we took a guy so outside the spectrum of normal, mm-hmm. like that I've never even seen anyone anywhere near his level of narcissism and made him the most powerful man on earth.
Dave Kohler.
Okay, if you know Dave, that's really funny. All right, what's next?
All right. A program that was aimed at helping reduce the number of teen pregnancies has been cut short by Trump's administration. This was known as the Teen Pregnancy Prevention Program that was started under the Obama administration back in 2010. And it funds organizations working to reduce and prevent teen pregnancy with a focus on reaching populations with the greatest need. Now, the whole point of this program is to just give teens the information and the sex education necessary to prevent them from getting pregnant. But of course, since it's not a fully abstinence-only based program, members of Trump's administration have decided we don't like it. we're gonna do away with it. Now, they cut the program short. So it was supposed to last about 5 years, but they cut it down to 3 years. HHS, or the Department of Health and Human Services, informed the recipients in their annual grant award letters that programs would end next year rather than in 2020, a cut of about $200 million over 2 years. Under Obama, HHS approved 44 pregnancy prevention programs to coincide with their grants. Only three were abstinence education programs, and that's probably what really upset some of the more right-wing members of Trump's administration. For instance, Valerie Huber, a prominent national abstinence education advocate, was recently named chief of staff to the Assistant Secretary for Health, which oversees the office that manages the teen pregnancy prevention program. Valerie absolutely hates comprehensive sex ed. She thinks that abstinence-only sex ed is the only type of sex education that students should get. But she's wrong, and I have numbers for you in just a second, but you guys jump in.
Yeah, so this one's not that much on Trump. He's in charge, so of course, feel free to blame him. But this is more standard Republicans, conservative Republicans like Mike Pence, who want this to happen, and Tom Price, mm-hmm. who's the head of this department. And so they think that human nature is optional. And that when people hit puberty, they don't want to have sex. All you have to do is tell them, no, don't have sex. Or maybe yell at them or something, be a little stern. And they'll right. go, oh, all my human drives are gone. That worked magically. Right. Thank you so much.
It's so dumb. And also, when you consider the fact that people don't get married until much later in life. Like, it's not the 1950s. We're not getting married at 18. We're getting married, in a lot of cases, in our 30s. And so what do you really, you expect people to be abstinent until they're 30?
Yeah, so let's make a distinction here. If we're talking about teenagers that are, you know, between 13 and 18, you're still wrong if you don't want them to get pregnant. And by the way, this will increase the number of abortions. So way to be counterproductive. But when you get above the age of 18 and you tell people don't have premarital sex, that's like your opinion, man. I couldn't care less what you think. Oh, but my sky god told me this. Well, that's between you and your sky god, dude. And if you want to be horny the rest of your life, actually, I don't even want that, because then you're going to get taken out in all the wrong ways. But this is America. Remember that thing called freedom? So butt out of our lives. All these guys who claim they're for small government. No, don't have sex, I'm gonna tell you.
This is, you know, when Donald Trump runs for president, you say he's never gonna win the evangelicals, he's never gonna. This is why the evangelicals come home, because they know within these Republican administrations, you're gonna get this kind of thought, because you're gonna have the influence of the Mike Pences, you're gonna have the influence of the Tom Prices. That's gonna happen.
Okay, so they're gonna get policy that they like, but your policy is so counterproductive, especially if you're against, you know,
abortion,
rising healthcare costs. Look, the reason why Obama made birth control more available or easily obtainable was because we spend a lot of money on unwanted pregnancies, right? We spend $11 billion a year on unwanted pregnancies. So Obama didn't, you know, make that part of the Affordable Care Act in an effort to tell everyone, like, hey, let's all fuck around. No, he did it to save money.
I think I remember that speech.
It would have been fun if he had delivered it that way.
Yeah.
But people like Rush Limbaugh think that, like, women are, like, you know, knocking down bottles of birth control, and we're like, hey, we just want to be loose and have some fun. No, we're trying to save money. We don't want teenagers to get pregnant. Anyway, look, I have actual data, okay? Who cares about opinions? Let's go to actual facts. So look, if you want to compare two states that have completely different policies on sex ed, you can look at New Hampshire. New Hampshire only allows comprehensive sex education, where they say to teenagers, hey, look, it's probably better if you wait, but if you don't, here's how you can protect yourself, okay? Comprehensive sex ed. They have the lowest teen birth rate of any other state in the US, okay? So it's about 10.8 per 1,000 teens, age 15 to 19, okay? Then you go to Mississippi, where they only allow abstinence-only education. And their birth wow. rate is much higher. Teen birth rate, 34.8 per 1,000 teens, age Jesus. 15 to 19. So, okay, literally, there's a huge disparity there, right? Yeah. Okay, then let's also compare administrations. So Bush comes into office, same, you know, conservative ideology prevails, and the teen pregnancy rate increases significantly. So 40.2 per 1,000 teenagers, okay? Then you go to the Obama administration where he's like, yeah, I'm defunding these abstinence only programs because they don't work, and focusing more on comprehensive sex ed. Teen pregnancy rate decreases 20.3 per 1,000 women. Okay, look, I want us to be smart. I don't care about anyone's religion. I don't care about anyone's opinions. I care about actual numbers and doing something that will decrease the number of abortions. Here's an example of something that will decrease abortions. Comprehensive sex ed. Teens are gonna have sex. I know you guys don't like it, but it's just a fact of life.
Yeah, but I do care about their religion because I want you to understand it. And there's two parts of it. If you vote for a Republican, you will get this. So don't delude yourself and say, oh no, I think there are some moderate Republicans. No, every Republican president that's come in has done abstinence only education, has increased teen pregnancy, as you see the numbers under Bush. Every one of them do this, and they kill comprehensive sex education.
And that works on both ways. That's what I was saying. It's like if you are a conservative Christian, if you're a focus on the family guy, if you vote for Republican, even if he's not exactly like you are religiously, you're gonna get this.
That's right. And by the way, if you're evangelical, you will get more abortions in the country. So, okay, if you're like, hey, but I hate birth control so much that I'm willing to have more abortions.
Right.
Okay, all right, that's your call, but I understand what you're getting with it, okay?
Right. That's your call.
Yeah, and for the, and then the other part of it is, look, I think that the moderate Christians have a responsibility here to rein in their extreme Christians, right? Because these extreme Christians believe that you shouldn't do birth control when 99% of the country agrees that we should be on birth control. Like, they do it with their actions. Single women are on birth control in overwhelming numbers, overwhelming. No, forget single women, married women, all adult women are on birth control in overwhelming percentages. So it is only a minority extreme Christians that are dictating the policy for the rest of us. Now Christians are the majority of the country, so you got a responsibility. Moderate Christians, it's on you.
Yeah, and that's another thing. Like, you should be able to practice your religion. But why do Christians get to dictate my life? I'm not a Christian.
Yeah.
Okay, I don't believe in your religious doctrine, so why do you get to dictate my life? Why don't you do you, I do me, right? Like, why don't you not take birth control?
They don't want to do you, though, not until.
Well, a lot of them do, actually. Let's keep it real.
On the other hand, if you say Muslims want to enforce Sharia law, they'd be like, how dare they try to enforce a religion on the rest of us? Exactly. True, yeah. All right, last story.
All right. Betty Shelby, the police officer who faced trial after the shooting death of Terrence Crutcher, resigned from the Tulsa, Oklahoma Police Department, and then actually ended up getting fired in the next town over, neighboring Rogers County. Now, the sheriff there, Scott Walton, it has been a very supportive person toward Shelby, has been a fan of Shelby. And for those of you who are unsure of which police shooting we're talking about, this was the one that took place last year. And it involved Terrence Crutcher, who was seen on surveillance with his hands up prior to Betty Shelby shooting him. Now, we're gonna show you that surveillance right now. It's hard to watch, so I wanna give you that warning. With that said, let's take a look.
He's got his hands up there for now. Mike, I'm gonna hit the recorder. This guy's still walking and following commands.
Not for taser, I think.
That's got a feeling that's about to happen.
That looks like a bad dude too. To be on something.
Which way are they facing?
Police one, they're facing westbound. I think he may have just been tasered.
Shots fired!
All right, so she did face trial for that shooting, and she was acquitted. And so even though she was still employed with the Tulsa Police Department, she felt that she was isolated from other law enforcement there. So she decided to resign. After she resigned, she did get hired by Rogers County.
So the jury acquitted her, but all 12 of them said that she should not be a police officer. Now that's their opinion, and what matters is their acquittal. But one juror was quoted as saying, look, I don't know that she's a bad person, but I know she shouldn't be a cop. And the neighboring county, Rogers County, was like, no, you all saw the evidence against her. Think she shouldn't be a cop. I don't see what the problem is.
Right. And that the sheriff of that county was a former Tulsa police officer who had supported her all the way through.
So she testified that she was scared because Crutcher appeared to be under the influence of drugs, didn't obey her commands.
Oh, good. Execute him then.
Yeah. Right. And so look, I don't want to go back and adjudicate this case, you know, because we've done it a billion times before. But what I do want to say is, look, this is not a different state. This is literally the neighboring county. And this was a very high profile case. And I think it's important to be a police officer who has some level of trust within the community. And
no, but it depends on which community you're talking about, Anna. So, you know, this Sheriff Scott Walton, maybe he's friends with her and maybe he thinks I want to support a fellow cop that I used to serve with in Tulsa. But that's being way overly generous to him. And I don't know what his real motivation is. But the message that he's sending is, if you're a black person in my county and you've got your hands up, we'll kill you anyway. Because I just hired the person who killed a black guy who had no weapons on him, had his hands up, and I rewarded her. I gave her a job, I gave her a salary. A jury of her peers says she should never be a cop again. I ignored that. Whether you liked what she did or not, by hiring her, you have sent a message to the community that I'm rewarding what she did.
Yeah, you're cool
and,
with it.
Yeah, and it depends on what you mean by community. Because he doesn't view blacks in that area as his community. He views whites as his community. Now you can say, oh, you're the jank, you can't read his mind. I can read his actions. His actions. If you cared about African Americans and all of the people that you're serving in your community, would you hire someone who clearly in broad daylight shot someone who had their hands up and who, you know, didn't have a weapon? I mean, again, at a bare minimum, a gross negligence. I mean, if she had shot the local mayor or a judge or a local businessman, the guy who runs the used car dealership or whatever, he has his hands up and she just, but I don't care, who cares, whatever, boom. Or I'm scared, I don't know, he's a big white guy with a beard, I don't know, boom, shoot him, kill him dead. You think this guy goes, well, hey, good job, way to kill the mayor, right? Okay, hey, I'm gonna hire you. Oh, you used Bob down the street who we go to church with, who's a car dealer guy? Oh, you killed him even though he had his hands up? Great job, I'm gonna hire you. He's not gonna do that. It's certainly sending the message that if you kill an African American with his hands up, it's not that big a deal.
Right, look, I also wanna say though that I don't think that white members of the community are safe from this type of excessive force either. And look, I don't know what this particular sheriff is thinking or what's going through his mind, but it isn't just black members of the communities that have been, in my opinion, unjustly shot and killed. There have been a number of white people, even though it disproportionately does impact the black community.
The epidemic does not go necessarily in the same direction, though.
You're right, yeah. And so I want to be clear about that. Disproportionately, yes, it impacts the black community. However, there have been cases of unarmed white people who have been shot and killed by cops as well. Yeah. And the cops still get the support from their peers. They still make excuses for them. And so no one, regardless of what your race is, regardless of what your background is necessarily safe from this happening to them. And I really want to get that through people's minds.
Yeah, I hear you. It way disproportionately hits African Americans. But there's a lady in the pajamas, there's dozens, hundreds of cases of it happening to white people too. So if you're in Rogers County and she's a cop there now, if you got your hands up, doesn't matter if you're listening to a cop's. Now, to be fair, he was not listening perfectly to her orders, right? So if you don't listen exactly to every word they say, that apparently could be cause for execution. And the sheriff thinks that's a good job and so wants to reward
right.
that.
Even the guys in the copter who didn't know anything were like, he looks like a bad dude, right?
But that's why it is racial.
Yeah, it is. That's what
of
I'm
course,
saying.
Of course, of course. Come on.
That to me is as telling as that is the shots being fired, right?
Yeah, but even the guys in the copter who made that racial assumption doesn't mean, by the way, that they're maliciously racist. And people got to understand that there are stereotypes and they might not realize they have it in the back of their heads, but they just said it. Why does he look like a bad dude? Turns out he wasn't. He was a perfectly innocent civilian who happened to be a large African American guy. Oh, bad guy. But even they were like, I mean, time to tase him.
Time to tase this guy. Oh, it looks like they just tased him, right? No question.
They're like, oh. You know, obviously they were not expecting that the guy would get shot.
Right.
But don't worry, the person who did shoot him, now on the force in Rogers County.
Back protecting the good people of Rogers County.
Yeah, so if you're anywhere near Rogers County, watch out. Yeah. And one super last thing. The jury did what they did, and she's acquitted. She gets to go back into regular life. She could go be a furniture salesman. She could work at McDonald's. She could be an executive. She could work for a pharmaceutical company. But she shouldn't be a cop. We're not saying that her life should end. She's not even going to jail.
What was your old mantra? The bounds of reason?
Bounds of reason, exactly. All we're saying is that's not the right job for her. That can't be an unreasonable demand. All right. We got to take a break here. By the way, everybody check out Michael Schur on i24.
Oh yeah, i24 News. Find it online. It's i24 News. That's
there it is.
I'll come back with more. But it's new, and I'm reporting for them now. So check it out.
Yeah, excellent. And when we come back, Metha Alhassan. And there's a hilarious story of these guys who are trying to stop refugees from coming into Europe. And guess who rescued them when their boat ran into trouble? You're gonna love that story. We'll be right back.